This is episode 36 weeks of us bringing to you the hottest stories that Microsofties are talking about each week. And obviously, Paul, it was Halloween.
It was Halloween.
Are you a big Halloween guy?
I am a huge Halloween guy.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't come off... Actually, I could see you in costumes. We do have that boy band video. Anyway, I'm gonna get the first one. No, not going to go there. What were you this year?
I was the boy band video. I was not the boy band video.
Every day.
I know, right? it's just not my undying love for Justin Timberlake, then it's...
I'm with you on that. We have a lot more in common than you like to believe.
I'm aware.
So what did you do for Halloween?
So this year, I wasn't too excited about my Halloween costume, but in years past... I've been a number of things. I was the Facebook one year for Halloween.
How'd you pull that off?
I had one of those little science-y boards, like the little like fold-out things.
Uh-huh.
And on the front it said Facebook, and then as you would log into it, there was a hole that was cut out that I could hold up here so you could see my face, and then like all my friends were listed there, and I had a marker attached to it so you could write on my wall.
That's cute. That's really clever. Did you build it?
I built it myself. I was so excited about
it.
I was so excited about it, and then once I was done, it really looked like a really crappy third grade science project, and my roommates came in, they're like, dude, what are you? And I was like, I was so disheartened.
Facebook with beer on you, spilled all over you,
like,
other people's clown makeup smudged.
Yeah, I was like, I'm the Facebook. They're just like so sad. And then like all these people that never went to college, and Facebook was just a college thing at the time.
Yes.
They came over and they're like, I don't even understand what you are.
I don't get it.
And then we went out to the bars and I was just completely just really sad. And then this random girl comes up to me and she's
like, terrible story, Paul.
She's like, oh my God, are you the Facebook? And I was just immediately uplifted me and I was like the life of the party. And I was like, I'm the Facebook.
She had heard about you.
Yeah, yeah.
People tweeted.
And then I went around poking people throughout the night.
Yeah,
it was great.
You do that anyway.
I do.
Right on. Well, I created a video for Channel 9 for the Halloween special.
Yeah, I'm so glad the rest of your body grew back, by the way.
I regenerate.
Yeah.
I regenerate. I have a tail, actually, now. Some things regenerated that weren't there before. And I had such badass costumes from that video that I sort of recycled them. But if you haven't seen the video, I suggest, you know, you cover your eyes a little because it is frightening, not for you know, minors. And check it out. But let's move on from Halloween. It's in the past.
Yeah.
Let's start the show.
Let's do it. All right. Our first story today is apparently the Zunes have a very interesting feature about them. They're almost seemingly scratch proof.
HD.
HD Zune. Zune HD.
We have yet to take a key or a coin to one of the older Zunes.
Yeah.
But the Zune HD, there's a video out. You can watch these people seriously trying to scratch their Zune and saying it is, you know, I mean, I don't think Zune, this isn't the official word from Zune.
No.
But people online have figured out, well, hey, why would you even try that?
Yeah.
So. Why would you try that?
Yeah.
What if it's not scratch proof?
Yeah, let's take a look at the clip real quick. It's really hard, apparently, to scratch thing. One thing that I found interesting about that, though, is like you could hear that as he was progressively going through it, it sounded like there were scratches that were put on the thing. But at the very end,
you think it was fake?
I'm not sure if it was.
Fake?
I'm not sure if it was fake. But like when he's putting the knife over it, like you can hear that there's like little ridges in the thing that are going over it.
I mean, people must be really bored if that's the video they're going to fake.
Yeah.
But you know what? It reminds me when I was younger. It's a true story from my youth, Paul.
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
When I was younger, we got these, I believe they were made by Corel, these dishes that say unbreakable. And you could apparently drop them, and 99.99% of the time, when you drop these bowls from a good height, they won't break. And so I was like, let's try it with all my friends while mom was away.
Oh,
and of course, I hit that like 0.01%. And they don't break like normal dishes.
Oh, they
shatter all over the place. Yeah. I mean, it was just one dish. But like, I've learned my lesson. See, I learned that, you know, just don't try it.
Yeah.
Don't try it.
The dishes are done, man. Remember that from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead?
I don't watch movies.
See, now you have pop culture. Yeah, the thing that's nice about this is my friends who cook all the time, like, they frequently confuse their iPod for cloves of garlic.
Right.
So they just accidentally scratch those all the time. So
if
now...
If you're short a cutting board, yeah, use your Zoom.
Perfect.
There you go.
Love it.
All right, next up, Paul. You were away, but while you were gone, I'm sure you heard in the news, and we talked about it here on Ping, that Microsoft was going to sponsor, I think, a one and a half hour comedy show written by and starring Seth MacFarlane from The Family Guy. And this, I thought, was really awesome. And instead of infusing it with, you know, your regular type of commercials, the Microsoft branding and wording was going to be mixed into the jokes, you know, so it was really just like a collaborative effort here and a way to promote, you know, obviously the Microsoft brand and the Windows brand.
Yeah.
And not so much.
Yeah. It didn't quite happen.
They canceled that idea.
Yeah.
I guess the people, us, Microsoft, decided that Seth MacFarlane might be a little too risque. And a little too cutting edge, bleeding edge, really. And not exactly, you know, the way that we want to present ourselves.
The interesting thing I find about this is that, you know, Microsoft does buy millions of dollars of commercials for other potentially risque things. There was an article that showed that they spend over $1 million on Two and a Half Men or $1 million on South Park.
I mean, South Park is way controversial. Yeah. I would think that would be up there. We've also been known to advertise within the Family Guy episodes,
right,
throw our ads up there. But I guess, you know, when they saw the script of what Seth MacFarlane was planning, it dealt with some pretty trashy topics, they were like, oh no.
I guess they pulled out just in time.
Frankly, son, you frighten me.
Next.
So on Microsoft's press pass, the general manager, Zig Serafin of the... very good name. he is in charge of all that is audible in the future of Microsoft, and he had some good things to say about how we're integrating voice into a lot of our mainstream applications.
Yeah, totally moving. I mean, obviously, we knew that, you know, these sort of user interfaces are coming. We've talked about them before. We're going way past the mouse and keyboard. But the voice one is really not only the future, but, like, the immediate future.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a lot of the stuff already working for us.
Yeah.
One of my favorite features in Exchange Server 2010 is when it transcribes your
voicemail preview.
But it does it really good.
Yeah.
Like, I've had versions before where you don't even understand what they're saying. The words are all wrong. It's jumbled letters. It's like closed captioning gone in a different language. But now it's accurate. I don't even need to check my voicemail.
Yeah, the speech to text recognition on Exchange 2010 is pretty good. So essentially, someone leaves you a voicemail and it sends you an email with the voicemail as an audio file. But right below it, it gives you, like, the text to that.
Right.
And it's a really cool feature. There are a few other things that are very practical, like whenever you have any types of hands-free commands that you need to put into, like, an automobile, for example,
right,
or onto your cell phone, you would be able to call up, like, Bing 411, which is Microsoft's 411 service, and you can just say, like, find me a local restaurant or, like, say, driving range Seattle. And the thing will go search for it, and it'll tell you the name, the phone number, the address, and it'll even send you a text message.
Really?
So, like, if you're driving, you don't have to, like, go search through
your
phone.
I hate when people do that.
Yeah.
I hate when they do that, and I think I also hate when people play. Most navs won't let you input new addresses while you're moving, but they'll, like, put it in real quick, and they're playing it. I think cars should be simplified.
Yeah.
You know, I just got a Prius, right, which is the car. If you are an ADD person, this is your dream come true. Because there is so much shenanigans going on and so many things to look at and play with, and it's literally distracting. It does have the you know, the voice-activated phones, but I just think that the entire car should be voice-activated, you know? Turn up my heat, done. Turn on the volume, and I'm sure, hopefully, this will be coming in the future.
Yeah, I'm not sure if voice is going to be all that prevalent in everything that we do. Like, I think there are certain complementary scenarios that work out well, like the Exchange 2010 voice voicemail preview, that's great. Certain types of commands, that's also good. But I don't want to, like, control my computer with voice. Like, I don't want to say computer turn on.
But you want the option.
Right.
You want the option. Like, and you know what, Paul? You're really selfish in that line of thought, I'm just going to say. Because what about people, disabled people, handicapped people, who need to be able to turn their computer? So, and now you're going to deny them. Because Paul doesn't want to say hello to his computer.
I'm not going to deny them. I'm saying for me personally, I don't find it that useful until I become Tony Stark.
And then
I can get Jarvis to help me create my badass Iron Man suit. Because, my hands will be all, busy trying to, put something together. And then I'll tell Jarvis to spray me with some...
We'll get that lined up for next Halloween.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay.
Next.
All right, Paul, I'm not going to lie to you. I am a little bit, I get a little bit crazy.
Impatient,
around celebrities.
Okay.
Around famous people. And for some reason, now this is not someone who you'll see in the movies, but I'm not going to lie, Bill Gates does it for me.
He does?
He does. He does. Just watching him talk and hearing him, and I mean, he scares me. I've been in his presence. We've interviewed him. I get a little trembly around him.
Well, he's a pretty smart guy, and everything he says seems to have
pretty But he actually, he was interviewed by Thomas Gibson, and he gave this speech about him and Belinda Gates, the Gates Foundation, and their other sort of project that they're working on called Living Proof. And this was very recently, and they described themselves, both Bill and Melinda, as impatient optimists. Do you know what that means, Paul?
I have no clue. please enlighten us.
Well, this is awesome. They sort of looked at the past 20 years in children mortality rates and showed a chart. And it has declined, while the births have increased. And so what their organization does and, our government, is donates money to cure and help, world health care. So what this is showing is that our efforts and the Gates Foundation efforts are making a difference, and we're saving lives, and it's happening, and it's not something off in the distant future. So what they mean when they describe themselves as impatient optimists is we know it's going to get better. We know we can make it get better. Let's hurry it along. Make it happen now.
Got it.
You got it?
Got it, yeah. And they also quoted that they can link back their investment to saving, 2.5 million children?
Absolutely. And the number, the dollar amount, billions that go towards healthcare, I guess people were like, oh my God, why are we giving so much money to World Healthcare? But in reality, it's like, I think it was less than a quarter percent of what our actual, government budget is. So essentially, little tiny drops of money can save the world, which is awesome. And that's why Bill Gates does it for me. But you know why else, Paul? Also, in this interview, he did refer back to some of the exciting things that are coming our way in technology and software. And one of the things he mentioned?
Natal.
Definitely Natal. Definitely hand, face, gesture recognition. And speech recognition.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Recognition. So, I mean, Bill, if you're out there, me and you.
I think that
he's
just happy that computers will eventually be able to understand things like LOL and JK.
That's probably it.
That's huge progress right there. Won't need to type that ever again.
All right, Paul, that's a wrap for this week. But, as always, we like to give away some things. Oh, and reminder, register for PDC. If you haven't, get there, be there. I'm going to be there.
Yep.
Paul's not going to be there.
I'm not going to be there. I'll be at PASS next week.
Where's that?
The SQL Server Conference here in Seattle.
It's no PDC, but I'm sure it's
no
good
PDC,
times.
But it's good for SQL Server customers.
You had to get it in.
I had to.
All right, tell people how they're going to get away with fun, free prizes and toys.
All right, so Laura did the scariest video I've ever seen on Channel 9 for Halloween. So here's what we're going to do. If you can identify all of the Channel 9 cast that was in that video.
All the Niners.
All of the Niners.
Yeah. Any Niners in that video.
By first and last name. Send that to ping@microsoft.com and we'll randomly select one person that gets all of them right and send them some goodies.
Goodies!
Goodies.
All right, that's it. Let's leave.
All right. Boom.
Well, I'm not a crook.